Today, we're going to do a lesson called The Government Shall Be Upon His Shoulders. If you don't catch on to this, this is a Christmas theme. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 says that for to us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Boy, you got Christmas all over you right there. This is a happy time of the year for many, but it's largely, in my judgment anyway, overshadowed by the crises that are in the world right now, especially in our country. There's trouble all around us. Everywhere you go, there's trouble. That's not unusual, because there's always trouble in the world. Ever since the world began, there's been trouble in the world, yes or no? Nation after nation are feeling the pinch in their various troubles, and we as a nation are not exempt. We're right in the middle of that. There's something, however, in us, one way or the other, we look for something to cure our ills, and that cure seems to fail us. Let me tell you this, in all of the pills, all of the stuff that people come up with, there is only one thing that'll make it right, and that's Jesus Christ. There's something we've missed, I think, about the Christmas story. Because we seem content most often to leave it as something like a small story. This is not a small story. This is a big story. It is a huge story. We've become self-minded about Christmas, and it causes us to miss the intent of the birth as we run from store to store, buying this or buying that, hoping that somebody will be doing that and give us something in return. You think that happens? We're going to get so-and-so something for Christmas. Well, the next phrase is, well, we better do something to get them something. Isn't that how it works? Let me tell you what Jesus did. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus just stood up and gave himself, and he says, this will suffice. Jesus gets little blurbs on occasion with cute sayings like, Jesus is the reason for the season. I love that phrase, but that doesn't even come near to who Jesus is. Let me tell you this. I stand before you as a flawed man. I know you don't believe it, but I am flawed from head to toe. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, warts and all, and he took the warts and all with him. And then he imputed me with his righteousness, so that when he sees me, he sees a reflection of God himself, even though I'm a flawed man. Now, you can't beat a deal like that. You can't get it anywhere except through him. We love to talk about his peace. Oh, the peace of Jesus Christ. We sing songs like, peace on earth, goodwill toward man. And if we'd only heed the words we sing, we'd see Jesus not as the good old boy. We would see Jesus as someone who has a definite mission. And we would also see that that mission that Jesus has includes us. We're not exempt from it. We're included in Jesus' mission. Remember the Great Commission? Help me with that. Go into and Jesus put us in the same mission he's in. But I would like to be like Jesus Christ. Do you realize when you do that stuff, you are? How many of you in here are flawed and not lying? We're all flawed. But in Jesus' eyes, in our covenant with him, we're fully clothed with everything he has. Do you want to talk about giving something good? That's what that is. Without that, the Christmas story is powerless, not recognizing the power of his shoulders on which we sit, having no thought or intent of it. It's his shoulders, the shoulders of the Christ child that carries the weight of the world's governments, and they rest there. Hitler believed he was in charge. Every person who ever came in some kind of power thought they were the greatest and they were going to do the most in the world, whether it's destructive or constructive. But the truth is, the only one who can make it right is Jesus Christ. He is the only one. You say, well, the Father could do that. Well, the Father could do that. But the Father gave the responsibility to the Son. And the Son started to set people free. We often place too much trust in, especially politicians. I know, and you know, there's some good politicians in the world. But for the most part, if it starts with politicians, it's a lie, for the most part. How many times do people go up here and they throw out all of this cute language and, oh, I'm a so-so-so, and then they get in some office and go completely stupid? And our government is full of it. I think it's precious that baby Jesus, listen to this, was born in the middle of a huge tax hike. What do you think about that? Joy to the world? No. Jesus was born in the middle of a huge tax hike. What does that tell you was going on in the community? Were people happy? Was everybody saying, hey, we got a tax hike? Hey, I want some more of that. I don't want any more of that. We're about taxed to death. And if that's not bad enough, our government's making it worse. All of that was coming to you by the power of Rome. It was Caesar's world when Jesus was born. And the deal is, you either comply or you suffer the consequences. That's your choice. I could walk out of this room today, get in the car. I'd go anywhere I want to. I'm in a free country right now. But it's not so in most parts of the world. Soviet Union has a whole different way of looking things than the United States. And then you go to look at the other nations of the world, everybody's different. It was Caesar's world. Most often, you just did what you were told, and it was that way. Well, what do you mean it's that way? It's just that way. You comply or you die. There were those who set themselves up as kings, made kings of themselves. They didn't ask anybody. Nobody appointed them. They made themselves. Now, I have seen those guys in the church before. I worked in churches that were the most ungodly places on earth. And that hurts to say. Say, that must not have been a Church of Christ. Oh, yes, it was. And I'm telling you, it was evil. but not from everybody. The prophecies of old testified of the coming of a royal child king. Now, this child that was to be born is the true king of the house of Israel. This would not be a king of some small country. It would be he, this Christ child, who captures the world, claimed and taxed by Caesar, who preys on the poor to make himself rich. You know what it interests me? A person can go into politics, you know, and politics is politics, and they work themselves up into the big house. And down here, they didn't have a lot of money, and they get up there and they become billionaires. How does that happen? How does that happen? I've been trying to go up there and be one of them, and they won't let me in. You know why? I'm nobody. But what the people in the big house doesn't understand is, you're nobody either. There's only one somebody, and that is the God of heaven and earth, which includes the Holy Spirit, it includes the Father, and it includes the Son, who are one. And so my testimony has to be to follow the one. The prophet Isaiah declared the work of the child king, and Isaiah screams of victory when he says this: the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of oppressor, he will destroy. Christ the prophet. That's Isaiah 9:4. Now you listen to the good news of the one who holds the government on his shoulders, and you see a different picture. We find ourselves in wars and oppression made by the governments of this world. There are sorrows, there's debts, and they encompass us from the hands of those in high command. And he does it through the proclamation of the king. The world needs a new government. But it needs a different government, a new kind of government. It needs a new economic system and a new way of doing politics around the globe. There's going to come a time, come a day, when all of us will face God face to face. You believe that's true? You say, well, that's going to be billions of people. We're going to be in line forever. I expect God knows how to brush that up a little bit. But here's what I know. Though I was not worthy to be called his child, when I was immersed into Christ, I became his child. I also received a covenant from God that made me be able to stay in his presence, no matter how long we live. Sorrows and deaths are hideous in the world. The world needs a new government, a new economic system, and a new way of doing politics for sure. The book of Isaiah projects it. And when he says that same thing, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the what? Government will be where? On his shoulders. You know what happens? He took it off of me, and it took it off of you, and it gave you freedom so that you and I could be free in his embrace. You can't miss that. Big stuff. Christmas is not about cookies, but cookies won't save me. I need a Savior. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Christmas is about that. It's He not me or you, who forgives the debts of mankind. It is He who puts an end of wars, not Rambo. It is He who brings justice and judgment into the world. And the fact of whether we go to heaven in the process is pale in comparison to His justice and bringing righteousness to all the earth. Quit worrying about whether you'll go to heaven when you die. I'm going to help you with that. You're not going there. You were never invited there. We invited ourselves. Show me where He ever invited us. I can show you 5 that He's ever invited, and that's all. Does that mean we're lost? No. God's going to put you back here. You're going to be back here. This is not over. So you die. It's not that big a deal. You'll live forever. Capturing the hearts of mankind, saving all these people for Himself. That's what Jesus was doing when He traveled the road. The importance of God running the world His way is that it brings back to right the Christmas story. And what it's about is not just about a select few. You watch the wonderful Counselor working in the Gospels, dealing with individuals and challenging the systems of men with their enslaving ways. Watch as He upsets and uproots the slave masters. Watch Mighty God. That's what you do when you watch Jesus Christ. Watch Mighty God as He strolls through Galilee, giving food to the hungry, for Pete's sake, healing people who are sick, and doing the work of restoring the whole creation in the process. You can't break what God can't fix. You believe that? I'm tired of people wondering why God don't do this and God do that. God does not sleep. He is never asleep. He doesn't miss a thing. You can watch the everlasting Father mirrored in His Son for His beloved world. Listen to this. In the beginning, is there somewhere in the Bible that starts in the beginning? God created. Notice it didn't say God got together with a whole bunch of people and it just said God created the heavens and the earth. All of the heavens and the earth? Yes. That's the first day. If I were to go build a boat starting today, I would not be fishing out of it tomorrow. God did it in a day. Now, if I've got a God that can do that in a day, wouldn't it be real smart for me to hook up with Him? And God would say to me, I want a covenant with you. And you say, okay, how do I get a covenant? Well, I got a boy. He can help you with that. So the boy comes up. That's Jesus Christ. And he says, repent, confess, and be baptized. Wash away your sins. And do you know when that happened to you? You became as clean as God. But I make mistakes. God has a wiper for that. He's got a way to wipe that away. He forgives all of that. I'm going to tell you, Christmas, it's not about all that stuff, you know, getting a bunch of stuff. Now I kind of hope I get something. But I'm going to tell you, I don't have any desire for a present. I have a God who loves me, a wife who loves me, kids who tolerate me, grandkids that eat at our house. I got everything I want. I have preached all over the world except for 10 countries. Who gets to do that? I am a blessed man. I'm a blessed man, not because I did it right, because I have never got it right. I'm still not getting it right. But I am in straight connection to the one who owns the word correct or right. And as long as I'm in that embrace, I have no fear whatsoever. The Prince of Peace, a man with a price on his head, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, showing the world that God's on the move. Let me tell you something. We need to stand up here in just a minute. We need to sing a song. Alan's going to lead it. Joy to the world. You know why we need to sing that song? Because we have come in covenant with the Almighty God who has touched us. He's held us. He's provided for us. And He will not change. Tomorrow, when I hurt for something, or next week or next year, the Prince of Peace will still be in my heart. He'll be looking after me. Will God allow us to go through difficulty? Yes. You know why? Because if it's too easy, we take it for granted. But when you have to deal with adversity sometimes, you remember that you're in good company, because even the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, had to go through difficulty. Let's stand up and sing this song.